If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery. Late nights at work taking a toll on your skin? Do you find yourself staring at those dark circles in the mirror? Well, it's time to meet your new best friend, Dark Circle Defense Balm from Lumen. Lumen is a line of brilliant men's skincare solutions crafted especially for men who want to look and feel their brightest. Whether you're a seasoned skincare pro or a total newbie, Lumen Skin has got you covered. Lumen's Dark Circle Defense Balm is a lightweight gel that absorbs seamlessly into your skin to brighten your under eyes and instantly plump dehydration lines. It's basically an espresso shot for your eyes. The best part? Lumen will let listeners of this podcast try the product out for free. Yes, you heard that right. Free. Head to lumenskin.com/wondery and get your free trial of Dark Circle Defense and their other amazing products now. Say goodbye to tired-looking eyes and say hello to a new and refreshed you. Don't wait any longer. Your skin will thank you. That's lumenskin.com/wondery for your free trial.
Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Rachel Roberts.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast. Yeah. Something exciting is happening right now as we speak.
Oh, yeah.
Southern Charm is filming its reunion.
Yes.
And Thomas is not there.
Right, but guess who is?
Who?
Ashley.
She is for sure.
Yes. Yes. I mean, honestly, I'd be disappointed if she wasn't.
Our correspondent, Laura Rosenfeld, is on the scene. She was there this morning. She's probably still there right now, watching all the drama go down. Actually, it's probably just starting.
Right. Like she's 10-ish. Probably done the green room interviews.
Yes.
Yeah.
And not only is she there, she recorded a very special message for you listeners out there.
Hey guys, this is Laura Rosenfeld, associate editor of The Daily Dish. I'm here at the Southern Charm Season 5 reunion. Everyone seems to be in good spirits so far. But of course, there's always lots to address. The ladies are looking as glam as ever, and the guys are super dapper. But there's also some surprises in terms of what people are rocking this year. So super excited for you guys to see all of that. Some of the topics that you can expect to see are all the girl power you saw this season with the breakup bunch, Cameron's new life as a mom, Craig and Naomi come face to face and address their drama this season. Catherine addresses her new life and all of the great things in her life that we're seeing, as well as her sobriety and giving updates on her kids. Can't wait for you guys to see everything that happens at the Southern Charm Season 5 reunion.
So obviously that sounds amazing. Yes. And we'll have the link to the seating chart and anything else we know at this point. You can find those in the description. So this week, we also talked to a bunch of Potomac ladies. We have Ashley and Monique sharing their perspective on the season, their friendship, and where things stand going into the reunion.
Yeah, and gave us a little tidbit about group texts.
I love the group text answers.
Me too.
But some other things happened this week. Big news.
Just something really small. Like, I can't believe we're mentioning it.
And of course, we're talking about Jax and Brittany from Vanderpump Rules are officially engaged.
Ah!
Officially engaged. She got the ring.
Is it a ring? It's like a f***ing planet.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, he had some making up to do.
True. Maybe not big enough.
Can you imagine if it was like a ring on a string thing?
God. Fun fact, same jeweler as Katie and Tom.
Right.
Who also did the jewelry for La La Land.
Interesting,
right?
Fact.
Yet when you go to his Instagram page, it's all Vanderpump Rules people.
Now, I know you guys are wondering, well, why didn't we get to see the proposal? It's because it's going to be in season 7 of Vanderpump Rules.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we assume. If they don't get that moment, I'm going to be pretty surprised.
No, they said. Oh, they told us.
Both of their Instagram captions
say, we can't wait for you to see how it happened. You're going to find out in season 7.
And there's
seven.
They each, of course, posted like beautiful, intimate shots of themselves.
Yes.
Smiling on like a sunlit veranda. But then there are some pictures that are kind of zoomed out and you can definitely tell they were filming. And we actually got a video from production of Jax talking about it like right after it happened. So we'll play that now.
I'm super excited. What a way to start season 7. We're engaged.
Woo!
I can't wait till you guys watch the season. It's going to be epic. It's going to be epic.
So Rachel, you added a last minute news bulletin to our little rundown here. So I'm just going to let you get into it.
Yeah, there's a lot of news, but this was clearly the most important story of the week. Did we see Teresa's bodybuilding photos?
Yes, we did.
I, honest to God, thought someone, because I follow a lot of accounts that just make fun images with our housewives, right. Let's say. So I thought someone had put Teresa's head on Tamara Judge's, I always want to say Barney, yeah. Tamara Judge's body. And then I saw the belly button, and that's when I knew it was actually Teresa Giudice.
Because Tamara doesn't have one.
Right, right. So that led me to the conclusion that it was actually what I was seeing with my eyeballs, Teresa Giudice's body.
I am very interested to find out why she started doing
bodybuilding competitions.
Cannot compute.
Because I don't even understand marathons, so the bodybuilding leaves me quite perplexed.
Do you think she just started getting like so ripped that she was like, you know what the next natural step is?
I mean,
and they're from New Jersey, tanning.
What are you trying to say, Rachel?
I mean, it just makes sense to me. That's all.
Grace, have you ever been in a bodybuilding competition?
No, I have not. But did you, I mean, making the case that it is all about New Jersey, did you see that Dolores' son Frankie was in the same competition?
Doesn't surprise me.
So he's even bigger now? Because mm-hmm. that kid was huge.
Yeah.
Frank should do them too. He's also giant. Dolores should.
All of them.
Is this a new show? Like, is Jersey just going to be about bodybuilding now?
The bodybuilders of Orange County.
Oh, my God. Spinoff with Teresa and Tamara. TNT.
Pitch Fest.
You just gave out your idea to
everyone. I know. TM, Rachel Roberts. But what I also wanted to know is that Joe Gorga tweeted out, proud of my sister for her hard work and dedication, and put out a photo of his arm and Teresa together bodybuilding.
Wow.
So many things I love about this. Number one, they still have the same face.
Yeah.
The fact that they look like twins forever and always. Number two, the fact that the Getty Images symbol is still in it makes me really, really happy. Their arms are just twins too.
It's yeah.
great. The tan. Ugh. Everything about this photo, I like want to frame it.
And finally, maybe most importantly, the Real Housewives of Orange County trailer for season 13 dropped. May I paint a picture?
Yes. Oh, please do.
When I saw that it was up, I was in an airport and Debbie Mazur was sitting behind me.
Did you guys watch it together?
No, but I was very, like, you know, just a lot was happening.
I don't know who that is.
She's on Younger. She's, like, a 90s sitcom person.
Okay. She's on Empire Records.
Oh.
And she's Madonna's best friend.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, who was she in Empire Records? Shaved head?
No, she was the publicist.
Oh, I totally know who you're talking about. Okay,
I'm saying
okay.
it right, right?
Yeah.
It's Debbie Mazur.
That's okay. exciting. Yeah. And Madonna's best friend.
I know.
Oh, my God. She calls her Madge, probably.
Yeah.
Anyway, but we're going to be watching it and sending out a video of our reactions, our thoughts, and everything. So that'll be out next week. But we really encourage you to go watch it.
Do you guys want to share your favorite moments ahead of time?
Just the foreshadowing, a bad thing is coming.
Just be careful. Bad thing is coming.
Oh my God. The fact that they're getting their tea leaves red or coffee, I don't know.
Yeah, Turkish
one of
coffee.
The two. An SH.
Even blame it on me, yeah, Shannon Bador.
Who has an SH in her name? She needs help.
She's going to do a goddamn straight check.
I also really love Tamara being like,
stop screaming for one time in your life and listen.
It makes me so happy.
Oh, I can't wait. Just, I was sort of like, what are they going to do this year? And then that kind of like title card intro started coming in and I was like,
yeah, the graphics were interesting.
I'm back
this
in.
Year. Interesting. It was like a long time ago. It
was. And then like the sparkly OC.
But there's a thin line.
It's like a war movie.
Yeah.
So yeah, just a little excited for that. Also, they go to Mexico. So like OC Mexico is like my favorite thing in the whole world.
Yeah.
Tamara wearing the sombrero doing a tequila shot.
That could be anywhere in the world.
It could be anywhere in the world. That's true. But they always go to Mexico.
I'm sure they'll go.
But OC is a little bit later this summer. Let's talk about this week and what went on.
Yes. So last week I talked a little bit about Southern Charm and how I felt like Austin's girlfriend, Victoria, needed to be a little bit more of a cool girl. Mm-hmm. You respectfully disagreed. Yes. But I felt like that discussion is perfect for this week because we had a couple of gals who did not keep their cool.
So you had brought up this theme before I watched Roni, and like I knew what was going to happen, but actually seeing it, it's like painful.
It's painful.
I'll let you explain what it is.
Well, first, I just for anyone who hasn't yet seen Gone Girl, I'm going to do a dramatic reading. All right. So Gone Girl, written by Gillian Flynn. In the movie, it's performed by Rosamund Pike. I will try to do my best.
Right. In this episode of The Daily Dish, it will be played by Megan Segura.
Right. Men always say that it's the defining compliment, don't they? She's a cool girl. Being the cool girl means I'm a hot, brilliant, funny woman who adores football, poker, dirty jokes, and burping, who plays video games, drinks cheap beer, loves threesomes and anal sex, and jams hot dogs and hamburgers into her mouth like she's hosting the world's biggest culinary gangbang, while somehow maintaining a size 2. Because cool girls are above all hot. Hot and understanding. Cool girls never get angry. They only smile in a chagrined, loving manner and let their men do whatever they want. Go ahead, shit on me. I don't mind. I'm the cool girl.
So, if that's the definition...
Well, I know what I'm reading this summer.
...of a cool girl.
I'm going to say Tinsley Mortimer... and Ashley from Southern Charm were the epitome of the uncool girl.
Hey, Megan, hold my hand.
Can I have your hand?
Hold it.
Let's start with Tinsley.
Okay.
Tinsley is not yet engaged, but this week we see Tinsley shopping for her wedding gown.
Yep, that's it. And also her mom bringing it up and then her saying, I was hoping that's what you would say. Like, is amazing.
Yeah, that's the thing. It wasn't like she's like, oh, mom, this is weird. Her mom's like, hey, let's go wedding dress shopping. And Tinsley's like, okay, I was already planning on it.
I was thinking, listen to me. Now, this is just a fun thing to do. It would be fun to go try on wedding dresses.
I kind of was hoping he would say that.
So, like, already we're in that. Like, that's yes. happening.
Yes.
Maybe a little not cool girl. But then what happens at the dress shopping?
We find out that she, like, needs to get her account transferred because she has eggs frozen in her hometown. Mm-hmm. So she was calling to get the billing changed and then was FaceTiming with the doctor because who doesn't?
Right, who doesn't FaceTime with their doctor?
The doctor's like, hey, I have some photos here of the eggs if you want to see them.
Okay, but reminder, she's not only in the wedding dress shop, she's in a wedding gown.
Yes, sitting by her mom on FaceTime with the doctor.
Let's just say hypothetically that I was thinking about creating an embryo. What would be those steps?
Well, let's take a look at, we have a little picture here of your beautiful egg.
And when they see the images, they flip out.
Oh my God! What? Oh my God, I want to see those little babies.
Seven.
Yeah. Eggs are unfertilized. It means that
Why? That's like crazy.
And you can, my favorite part is you can hear the doctor being like, well, they're not embryos.
That's like crying. I don't, tell me that was too far. That's, I know, like what you're crying every time you get your period.
I knew you were
going to
say that.
Another one gone. So just, I don't know. Look, I'm not someone who desperately wants a baby, so I can see why maybe she's more emotionally charged about it.
Right.
But again, it's not a baby yet. It's not even an embryo.
Can I... It's not really a counterpoint as much as it kind of just made me love her.
That she's so unabashedly...
Like that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go try on wedding dresses even though I just got back together with my boyfriend and then call my doctor and look at my eggs and cry.
Yeah.
And not be apologetic for it.
You can never accuse Tinsley of putting on airs.
No, absolutely. Like, that is Tinsley.
But as far as I know, in real time, they are not engaged yet.
Right.
So I was even. He's watching this.
I looked at her Instagram.
Yeah.
Naturally. He has not been in a photo recently.
Oh, no.
I know. But it didn't look like they were. I don't know. It was. I don't know. I don't know if they were big on Instagram anyway.
Okay. Yeah.
But so I don't know what evidence that is.
What would be worse? Them being broken up and him seeing this episode, or them still dating and him seeing this episode?
I think them still dating if he had no idea.
Yes.
Because broken up, I think it's, that's still like mortifying though. But then you have to deal with the consequences. I think it's more mortifying if they are broken up, but having to like, you have to have a conversation about it if you're still together.
But that's who she is. She wears her heart on her sleeve. So I don't think there's any way.
Like, what's wrong with that? What?
Well, I don't think there's any way he doesn't know. You know
that's happening. I'm sure later on she was like, so I was trying on wedding dresses early and cried.
Right.
I just remember talking to the digital producer as the season was filming. And I said, I know that they're kind of off and on. Where are they now? She was like, they're back together, but just dating. Today she's going to try on wedding dresses. But to be clear, they are not engaged.
It's like, God. Okay. Before you move on to Ashley.
Yeah.
I really quickly want to talk about the spa at Tinsley's hotel, because the moment I heard it was a hammam, I called the hotel. I'm like a psycho. Because have you ever been to a hammam?
No.
It's one of the most incredible spa experiences I've ever had in my entire life. I did one in Turkey. They're Turkish.
So when you go in the hot water and then the cold water?
No. There's like this big hot stone and you like lay down on it, and then a woman comes and like massages oils into your body, and then they take this like lavender honey smelling suds and they just like drape it all over your body. It's like the most wonderful experience I've ever had in my whole life. So when I saw that there was a hammam at this place, I was like, what if I go? So I called, and they're currently, I'm waiting for it, sending me the price breakdown of what it would cost to go to the hammam. All of it was surprising to me. I learned a lot. But anyway, yeah, I just wanted to reveal how psycho I am and how much I wanted to go to her.
Keep us posted on those prices.
Yeah, I will. But we're not talking about spas. We're talking about cool girls.
Yes. Okay. So the other epitome of not being a cool girl is Ashley on Southern Charm, who, I mean, already she's all in on Thomas, moved away, and is completely dependent on him. But she's not at all trying to be this go-with-the-flow, understanding girlfriend.
Or as Thomas would say, chill.
Yes.
Just be chill.
And we see it twice in this episode. The first is she's freaking out that he's going to his son's birthday party without her.
Right.
I was hoping I'd get a chance to go to this birthday party and show her that there's no threat. But yes. I was protecting you, and you're what's important to me, and you're what I'm fighting for.
Sometimes your fighting is counterproductive. Just don't fight. Just chill.
And then she's like, hold my hand. Hold my hand. And he keeps giving the hint that, like, stop it. You're being a little needy.
Can I have your hand?
Why? Don't get upset if I don't. Just chill.
Because I just wanted to say something really sweet to you.
Just relax.
Right. And he does actually say that, but it's almost even like he needs to be even more direct. So he'll be like, why do you think I'm going to hold your hand?
So you have an expectation I'm going to hold your hand. Why?
Which is just dickish. That's not being direct. That's being a dick.
What does that even mean?
Which, like, you should have. Yes. sorry, I had the expectation that the man that I moved across the country for and I'm living with would hold my hand.
Your penis has been in my vagina. I'm amongst expect other you to places. Hold
my hand.
Yeah.
Rachel.
She means mouth grace.
Yeah.
Herve.
Well, according to the cool girl.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. But then at the end of the episode, she's like nagging him that he went out with Shep and Craig the night before. And he keeps trying to, again. I actually, oh God, I don't want to say this, but like, I respected him for being
direct
with her and being like, you need to calm down.
But and don't you think that he created the monster and now he's like,
oh, I'm sure.
You know, like he created Frankenstein and now he's like, ah, the townspeople, ah, you know, like you can't, you did this.
But I just love that she kept flipping her hair as she's nagging him. Well, you would be the flip. First guy flipped. Not want to come home to me. Flip.
Ooh. The first?
That's what she says.
Right. Whatever. Well, you'd be the first guy that didn't want to come home to me. Come home to...
Well, I did come
home to a naked girlfriend laying in bed.
And we had
You're the fool. Oh, you want to go hang out with Shep and Craig? Okay.
I know, can't believe I'm about to say this, but I get it. You moved across the country. This guy is dick to you all day. He goes and hangs out with his ex-wife at a party that you're not allowed to go to. Then he goes out with his boys after, and I'm sure she sexy texted him, be like, please come home, and then he didn't. That would feel like shit. I do not condone her behavior with Catherine, but with Thomas, I kind of get it.
Sounds like you're Team Ashley.
No! But I guess we'll find out if she remains
cool at the reunion.
Yes. Thank you. Same brain. So we haven't talked about Below Deck really at all. It's been about 5 episodes now. And if you have been sleeping on it, like me and Megan have, binge it right now because it's amazing.
Yeah. Even I was on a trip to Austin and was just watching it at night in my hotel room and couldn't stop.
It's like the one show that I will like make my boyfriend watch with me because I'm like, it's kind of...
gender neutral.
Yeah, I feel like it's the most, like, sure, you might enjoy this. Here are some thoughts I had about it. Number one, especially considering I had a conversation with Sandy yesterday, I wanted to talk to you about this Conrad Joao dynamic.
Okay.
Because yesterday, she said she had never met Jezebob.
Oh. So she's not understanding that layer of everyone else's interactions.
Yes.
I mean, as that probably should be, like, I mean, our boss hasn't necessarily seen us at our worst.
Right. Rezabob. Rachabob has never come out. Megabob.
Yeah. Megabob.
Megabob. I, like, really dislike him, though.
Joao?
Joao, yeah.
I don't like that he flirts with the two girls.
I know. Choose.
Choose.
Pick one.
And maybe don't pick the one who's told you she hasn't had sex in 7 years and doesn't plan to anytime soon.
Right, and will not be sleeping with you at all.
You heard me.
You haven't had sex in 8 years.
Yeah.
You're joking. Why?
I think it should be, a sacred thing, not I want to get off type of thing.
Yes. But then Brooke was like, no, I don't want you either.
Yeah. My favorite is when Brooke is talking to Adam outside and she's like, I can get, it was very like Hugh Grant being like, no, I'm cool.
Like, you know? I am not. I get nasty.
It was like, that was so embarrassingly, like, painful to watch.
Right.
Being like, oh, no, honey. If you could, it would just, you would know. You know, it's one of those things you don't need to, like, explain. So there's, like, a lot of dynamics going on. Yeah. There's Hannah and Conrad.
Yes.
Which Sandy in the office today, not too happy about.
Well, I'm sure.
Yeah. So that's happening. We have the Jezebob. I can say that. I can't say his real name.
Joao.
Joao.
I just want to say J-Wow.
J-Wow. Yeah. Brooke, Casey. And then Adam and Brooke, maybe, because Brooke has, like, some feels for Adam. So there's, like, a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
Who do you think is going to make it?
Couple-wise?
Yeah.
Well, I know Hannah's in a relationship, but I don't know with who.
I don't think it's with Conrad now.
I don't know. We'd have to do some deep Instagram stalking.
Yeah. And I feel like they wouldn't be the one to make it because he's too reserved and she's too outgoing. He's an ass man. She has big boobs.
I know. It's just never going to work out.
Right.
Right. I could see Brooke and Adam.
I know, but I don't think Adam is going to go there.
Mm.
I think that he's just going to be like, nope, I can't find love at sea anymore.
I could see Casey and Joao getting together, her having sex with him, and then him being a complete dick.
Oh, that would break my heart. I could see them like kissing and then her being like, what am I doing? No. You know? Yeah. Like, I don't think that she's not going to hook up with anyone. I think that'll be like a surprise.
Do you mean mouth hookup or?
I mean mouth hookup.
Oh, okay.
I don't think she'll go there because I think it's the kind of thing that like.
If you've waited 7 years.
Yeah. You can say no to anything at this point.
Right.
I know this is just like idle speculation, but it does really sound like you guys are writing some fanfic.
Ooh, don't tempt us, Grace.
You can find mine at www.belowhornyforbravo.com.
Jeez.
So like those are the love triangle dynamics, but also the guests have been like extra crazy. I feel like,
oh my god,
yes,
they have been so terrible and they just look bad. Like this in terms of the charter who needed things to be kosher.
Yes,
they were so obnoxious and then left the smallest tip.
I mean, when they were like, where are nuts? It's been 25 minutes. I need protein. Oh, those are the other
those
ones.
Are the other ones.
When they were.
Those ladies were terrible.
Yes. The kosher people were ridiculous, too. And she got them tequila 1492 or 1942 or whatever it was. It's all tequila. Like, are you kidding me? Like, it's going to be fine.
I don't know.
The whole they were crazy. You can't
be demanding and leave a bad tip and not look like assholes.
Yeah. Especially because I do feel like they were all trying really hard. It'd be one thing if I think they did give them shitty service, but I don't think that they did.
But the first charter group was my favorite just because they were so terrible. The redhead who was just drunk the entire time.
Right, and then also like teaching them about
their
weather.
Job.
Yeah. There's a swell coming. Like, what are you talking about, drunk woman?
And then she was trying to do a deckhand's job, and he was like,
I know better. Wrap that cleat. Here, hold this. I'll show you.
Nope, I can't have you touch the line.
Oh.
And I feel like every episode, they're like, even Sandy will be like, those are the worst charter guests I've ever had.
Yes.
Which makes me think, like, do you think there's something about Bravo, like, purposefully finding these terrible people? Because they'll be interesting.
No, I thought about this, too, and I was like, oh, we should have asked Adam and Hannah that.
Yeah.
Because what if it has nothing to do with, because I think terrible people are attracted to the camera, but what if just people on yachts are terrible?
I think that in general, people on yachts are terrible. Well, I think that it's surprising how much we see people talk to the staff like people. Like, I feel like a lot of times it's like,
you think they're
staff
on,
should be seen and not heard, they're being, you know?
They're on better behavior.
Yes.
Well, Sandy did share with us some, like, truly awful stories about guests who were not on camera, and so maybe your yacht theory is onto something.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh, just you wait. Henry Higgins. But yeah, Below Deck has been super good. Everyone's like really cute too. Just like an ad as an addition. Like Conrad is super cute.
The only thing I don't like is Joao's hair.
Yes.
I feel like it's a sort of what you would see in 1996 on a guy.
Yes, he's very 1996.
Yeah.
Also, though, the sheer volume of glasses of wine I have seen him drink is, like, insane.
Wow.
Jezebub. And find out, he apparently has a friend.
Oh, yeah. Sandy told us about, Jezebub's origin story.
Yes.
Friend.
And next week we'll be talking to Anna and Hannah. Hannah and Adam, and they tell us why they think Malia and Wes did not return.
Right.
It's really good.
But let's get into this week's interviews. First up, we spoke to Ashley Darby. She's had some rough episodes.
Yes. This week we saw Michael say, quote unquote, the worst dig he's ever thrown at her.
You want to know the truth? I need you to push away from your mother because I don't want you to look after my children in the way that your mother has looked after you.
Excuse me? That is the absolute biggest dig that Michael has ever taken at me.
Yes.
While on a frickin' hoverboard.
No, he wasn't on a hoverboard.
He was
at a restaurant.
Oh, well, at one point he was on a hoverboard and it really upset me.
Oh, that was when he was like,
we got to do more of about making sure we're together for the right reasons.
Does that mean that you've ever thought I wasn't with you for the right reasons?
We're not going to have this discussion on camera, man.
What?
Ugh. Oh, and she threw some shade at Karen. Talked about her husband's alleged infidelity and what it's like for her mom to watch the show this season.
So we are here with Ashley Darby. How are you?
I'm great, ladies. How are you doing today?
So good.
Good.
You just gave me some M&Ms.
I did.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, babe. I just feel so bad because I'm like, I know I was supposed to have this to you on Friday, and today's the next Friday, but here you go. And you're always still so nice. You're like, oh, thanks.
I always want to ask housewives, like on a scale from 1 to 10, how much do you hate writing blogs?
Oh my god!
You're like 15.
I don't really mind it once I start going, but it's the thought of doing it. It's like lingering over me. But then once I get into the groove and my fingers start going, you know, the Twitter fingers, all of a sudden it just flows out. I'm like, oh, that was it. But then I forget that. It's like when people have babies and they have the pain of childbirth, but they like forget that they had that pain during childbirth.
Mm-hmm.
I forget that I had so much fun when I did the blog, and I just think about how daunting it'll be to do it again.
When I send out the email that's like, time for blogs to Real Housewives of New York or Beverly Hills, both Dorinda and Kyle Richards wrote, ugh, in response. And I was like, oh, okay. Great. Sorry.
But in actuality, I think it's a great opportunity for us to tell a different side of the story that maybe wasn't covered. So
totally.
I appreciate them. I like them. I just don't like actually doing them.
Right.
But I love the questions. They're great.
Oh, good. You're welcome. I try really hard.
I can tell. It's great.
So we were talking about how you guys are in your third season of the show, Real Housewives of Potomac. And three seasons is a lot. But in terms of Real Housewives franchise, you're still sort of the newbies.
Right.
Do you ever feel that way when you're around other housewives? Is there hazing?
There's no hazing. Everyone's very supportive. When I did Vagina Monologues with Kenya and Teresa the first time in Michigan, they announced us. So it's like, first coming to the stage is Teresa Giudice. Like, wow, so great. And then coming to the stage is Kenya Moore. Wow, so great. And then coming to the stage, Ashley Darby. Like, it was, and Kenya was like, don't worry, Ashley, this was after first season, so I understood that we were still fairly new, and so I didn't take it personally, but she was like, don't worry. She actually patted me on the back. She's like, don't worry, it'll get there. I said, thanks, Kenya.
That's so sweet.
Speaking of other shows, do you watch other things?
Oh, Bravo? Yeah. I love Southern Charms New Orleans. Such a good show.
Yes.
And I had the chance to meet Reagan and Tamika just by chance. They were actually here at the Bravo headquarters.
Yeah.
And then I was in Tao because I had come to like do some appearance, and we met in Tao.
No way.
Just by coincidence, we were both there at the bar.
Oh my god, I love that.
Did you recognize them? Did they recognize you?
Yeah. Well, Reagan recognized me because we have friends in common. So she recognized me first, and I was like, hey girl. And they're like so excited. They had just come from here, so they were just like on cloud nine, you know.
Did you give them any advice?
Maybe.
Oh,
wait, no,
yeah, what?
Don't you guys want to know?
Yes, we do.
Yes, I gave them advice.
Don't say be yourself.
Well, but you got me, girl, red-handed. But that is probably the most valid advice you can get.
Right.
Because the reality is, A, you led a life prior to Housewives. So you have a reputation, people know you. So when they hear you say or do things on the show, they'll be like, that's not right. That's not what you were doing last year or who you were. And they will call you out.
Right.
And that will spread like wildfire. So it's just best to be your authentic self, walk in the same stride that you always have. Some of my castmates could take that advice to heart.
Ooh, who? Actually, looking well, at me like,
if you've been watching the show, which I hope you have,
of course,
then you would know exactly who I'm talking about. Someone who called me out on Twitter the other day saying that I've never lived in Potomac, which is true. I have never lived in Potomac, but I could actually afford to live in Potomac, unlike this person. So I have the choice. She doesn't.
I love this. Who else do you hate?
I don't hate anyone. I just really get mad when actions and words don't align. That really irritates the behoots out of me.
You were kind of talking about being your authentic self. You have come onto the scene in Potomac kind of as someone who isn't afraid to bring up some bones, to talk about stuff going on. Like, you're a straight shooter. You bring stuff up even if it's awkward. Have you always been like that?
I have always been someone who expresses themselves. I'm a millennial, and I think that me being a millennial is very different from some of these baby boomers, and I forget what Robin is, like Generation X or something like that. I don't know. But I come from an age of being very upfront. Everything is on social media. I'm expressive. And so if I don't hide behind any facade, why should you hide behind a facade first? Secondly, we're on this platform where we are sharing our lives and we're sharing our stories. So your story, your true authentic self, can actually inspire and motivate somebody. So how about you just do and say what you actually do versus trying to create this false picture? That's the problem in society, is everyone seems to hide behind like smiling faces when in actuality they can be, you know, really heartbroken inside. Stop that. If you have financial problems, it's okay. We've all had financial problems. We've all been broke at some point in time. Let me tell you, we've all lived off of ramen noodles at some point. So just be it, live it, do it. And I'm upfront with my stuff. I'm upfront about what happens with my family. I'm upfront about what happens with my marriage. I will candidly tell everybody that that's not Michael Darby, who is supposedly in that picture. If that were Michael, I would tell you. At this point, I'd be like, damn, y'all, that's Michael. That's just who I am. I practice what I preach, promise.
Yeah, the women seemed so sure it was him. I remember even before it came out on the show, I feel like they were in for some interviews and had said it.
I bet they did, because for me to be the person who spotlights things and who kind of brings things to the table, how great would it be to turn the tables on me, to pull a Teresa on me and have me be the one who all of a sudden is like, oh, caught with my pants down. But that just doesn't work because I don't do that.
Right.
If Michael was bisexual or gay, I'd be like, all right, what is there any shame in that? Do I have anything to hide? Absolutely not. So it is what it is.
Are you ever surprised or nervous bringing out something that people might not want to come to light? How do you feel that?
Yeah, I'm always really apprehensive about sharing myself. When I started first season, I think that I was a little bit more reserved, partially because my husband was reserved. He was worried about how it would affect his job for us to talk about our real life issues in front of the world, because he also is from a different generation. Thinking about how what I talk about will affect other people is the most trying thing for me. It's not really about how it will affect me, because if I say it and it's about me, I can take it. It's more so talking about how I perceive other people, whether it be my castmates or the relationship with my mom and how we're faring, and then any struggles that I have in my marriage.
Mm. How has your mom reacted to the honest conversations you guys have had on camera and her seeing it on TV?
Oof, it's been pretty rough for us. I anticipated that my mom would be angry at me and that she would stop talking to me. Thankfully, she said, that's where we were. That was a very raw and true showcase of what was going on between us. So I'm not mad that we shared it. It still really hurts me. She was crying about it because it takes us right back to that moment, but she's not angry. Now, some of these trolls online, however, who want to attack my mom and call her names, alcoholic, drug addict, freeloader, this and that, I'm like, well, you can say what you want about me, Cletus, but do not come for my mother. That's where the line is drawn, you know?
Right.
Woo, baby.
A common theme that we find with our Bravo celebrities is that they, like, watch themselves and they kind of learn something they never did. Like, Stassi talks about that when talking about Patrick being like, I had no idea my relationship was like that. Watching yourself now with your mom, or your mom watching herself, has it been eye-opening at all?
It's been incredibly eye-opening for her. She even told me that her boyfriend, who I've talked about very mm-hmm. openly on the show, said to her, I didn't know that I was that bad. So that moment of reflection, to me, meant a lot, because it hurts me that it had to be this public in order for him to take heed to it. But then I was just happy that he did. I'm like,
yes, we haven't gotten along for almost 16 years, but the fact that you even made that comment and had that level of self-awareness, it made me feel, it kind of made up for some of the other feelings that I'm having about telling my story, because it has benefit.
Yeah, that's amazing to hear. I'm so happy.
There's been a lot of drama with Candace so far this season, and I always wonder, do you feel any sort of responsibility because you brought her into the group?
Oh my God, I wish you could see Ashley's face right now.
Do I feel responsibility for Candace? Girl, not one bit. Candace is very opinionated, yeah, and she has something to prove, whether it be to me, herself, her family, I don't know, but she's got something to prove. So whether it was I brought her into the group or anyone else did, girlfriend was going to come out the gates swinging. And right, she did, and she has. She could tone it down a little bit. You guys don't know, you don't see this right now, but she talks in the third person all the time. And it drives me up a wall. I'm like, how many people am I talking to here? Are there three of us in this conversation or just two? She this and she that and she, who is she? I just can't. Can we speak first person here? That was a little, got that off my chest. It's been bothering me. It's so irritating to me. Giselle does it too. It also bothers me, but Giselle doesn't do it nearly as much as Candace does.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of Giselle, I think I'm still flabbergasted that you two are getting along now, and I know fans are. Like, how did that happen?
The turning point for my relationship with Giselle was when I was going through my separation with Michael, and the only two people who really reached out to me were Robin and Giselle, because they had both been through it. They knew, especially publicly, they both offered me lots of words of encouragement and offered to be there for me. So that was when our relationship really took a change.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah. I was really in a bad space while we weren't together, because I was hiding it. I wasn't telling anybody about the fact that we were separated. So I was like, I couldn't talk to anyone. My friends were the only people I could really talk to, but yet people were recognizing me in the building that I was living in. And so they were like, oh, why are you in this building? And I had to make up an excuse. I didn't like that. I didn't like lying about that.
Do you feel like the issues that you've had to face in your marriage are just a result of, like, marriage is hard and it's hard for everyone? Or is there anything that you've learned that you're like, I wish I had known or done something different before I walked down the aisle?
Mm. It's really about marriage in general. When you marry someone, you marry them for who they are in that moment, or you marry them for what they have gone through in that moment. You don't realize, and no one can even prepare you for how that person will change, because you don't even know how you will change. So how can you predict the behavioral patterns of another person? And especially for Michael and I, who are in very different points of our lives, period, it's been even more trying. It's been more volatile trying to find a way to accommodate each other through our changes in life. But we're not giving up on it. Like, we're just both committed to it. And it still gets rough and rocky, let me tell you. But we have the common goal of wanting to be together. So.
Right. That's great. But I have to ask you about this pizza delivery investigation into Karen Huger's home.
So, a little birdie told me that Karen does not live at her house in Great Falls. If she couldn't afford to pay her mortgage for the house in Potomac, how could she afford a $10,000 rent for this beautiful McMansion in Great Falls? It just wasn't adding up. So Michael said, well, why don't you find out? And I was like, huh, good idea. So really, Michael was the brainchild behind that.
Oh my God, I love this.
Yes. Michael was the one who had the idea. And I was like, oh, okay. So then we fleshed it out. Giselle and I fleshed it out as to what that would actually look like. And we decided that a pizza delivery would be the best way. And that the best person to use would obviously be Robin, because just Karen can't stand Robin. So why not just throw Robin into the fire? It just made perfect sense in the time. It was great.
Oh my God, that's amazing. I love that it was Michael.
Oh yeah, it was Michael. Yeah, I can't even take credit for that. But even though I do.
I'm already excited for the reunion.
I know.
It should be interesting. Speaking of Karen, I wanted to get your take on Matt.
Who? What does Giselle call him? Opie? I mean,
yeah.
He's a nice guy. He's a nice guy, but I just don't know where he came from. That's all.
Yeah. Okay. He's kind of.
I didn't know if he was always in the peripheral or something.
Now, Karen says that he was friends with her son.
Mm.
But yet, we have never seen Matt or talked to Matt, but all of a sudden Matt is your assistant. It was weird. It was so strange.
Okay.
But I do see that Matt is friends with other housewives. He's friends with Sonia, and he's friends with Melissa Gorga.
Mm-hmm. Never trust a housewife fan on a show.
You need to put that on a shirt and give it to Karen, okay? Just like Giselle did her free Uncle Ben, you need to put, don't trust housewife fans. Happy birthday. Her birthday's in April. There we go.
I did want to ask you about Monique. When's the last time you guys have talked?
Monique and I are going through a difficult time right now because when we had the lunch, she and I had alcohol, quite a bit of it. And the bartender was really nice. He liked us both, so he kept giving us rounds of drinks. And because we were in such great conversation, because we talk and it just flows. Like, we just vibe with each other. We were putting him down. And I said to her, I was like, girl, are you okay to drive? She said, oh yeah, I'm fine. And I got in my car and I was like, I'm not okay to drive. So I had to sit in my car for 30 minutes just to and drink water. And even then, I probably shouldn't have driven, to be honest with you. So when I learned that Monique had gotten into an accident the next day, it was like, oh my gosh, that maybe I should have insisted a little bit more that she not drive. Then we went to Nima Colin, and she said she was tired because she's been working, da da da. It was just, to me, a time for her to be upfront and honest and say what really happened. Like, I'm going through a stressful time. I had this miscarriage. I'm stressing out. I haven't really confronted it. And maybe now I'm drinking a little bit more than usual. That was what I expected her to do. I didn't really anticipate her getting defensive and to say people I'm lying and calling me this and calling me that. It's like, this is a time for you to just be vulnerable, open up, and share. And I know that she has her issues with Robin and Giselle, but they're moms too. And they do care, surprisingly. No matter what, if it's something about your health or your kids, we do come together. So,
had you been able to get past it? And then has this reopened it now that it's airing now?
We've never gotten past it. It's something that is just, it's an ongoing discussion. She feels like I betrayed her, and I can understand how she feels that way. However, it was not meant to be that way. It was meant to be constructive. She doesn't take it as such. She got very defensive. Monique doesn't really like being called out. She doesn't like when anything goes against what she's trying to promote. So if she's saying that she's doing this and, I'm a boss and I'm doing this on the show, and then something happens in her life that reveals maybe she's not as in control as she thought she was, or as she tries to show the world, she gets really upset. That's what this is. And I'm on the receiving end of it right now. So I can only hope that she finds her truth. And if she is stressed out, if she is worried, she goes to a therapist. I'm a huge fan of therapy. Woo, baby. Love it. I used to want to be a therapist, and so now I see why. I love it. It's so great to be able to talk about your problems. And a miscarriage is very traumatic.
Right. That was kind of in the back of my head the whole time, and I was like, why aren't you just very... I mean, I know it's very personal, but I think it coincides.
It does. There, I really don't think that it's a coincidence that it happened that way. I mean, she drank the bottle of wine on the bus. It's like she's just trying to, I think, run away from maybe some of those feelings, because they're not comfortable feelings. And we all cope with things differently. We all have different defense mechanisms. So whatever is her truth, I hope she finds it. But I certainly know mine, and I'm not lying.
Mm. Well, what can fans expect for the rest of the season?
Woo. We are just really getting into some, I don't know how to describe them, but there's some ripples in the group, and friendships are being tested. It's like you wonder, will these friendships actually remain? I don't know.
I think you do know, Ashley.
No, I still don't know.
She's like, I'm waiting for the reunion.
Well, I may, we've been talking, we talk sometimes. And some of the people who I've been talking to, y'all trying to get me in trouble, trying to get me in all types of trouble.
Nope. Us?
Mm-hmm.
I know I can't really get in trouble with you guys because you make the show, so what can...
Right.
Yeah, so I can't really get in trouble with you, but yeah.
Are there like group chats? Who's in which group chats? Like what's going on there?
Oh, that's a really good question.
And what
no
are the
one has
names?
Asked that.
Yeah.
No one's asked that question before.
That's why we're the best.
Obviously. You are. You are the best. Because this is a thing. So when the show first started, we were all in a group chat together. And then Karen got a new number or something. And no one just bothered to add Karen's new number to the chat. So Karen was omitted from so many correspondences that we were all having between each other. Then as time went on, you start seeing like little breakoffs. Like then I learned that Charisse and Monique always talk, obviously. I have a group chat with Robin and Giselle. And then we had a group chat all together and Charisse was like, I'm bowing out. I don't want to be a part of this conversation.
Show us the text.
I'm tempted to. I was so surprised. Charisse said, these don't pertain to me. I'm out. And she left the group chat. It was spicy.
Yes.
My jaw literally dropped to the floor. I was like, and she said it in such a way. It was not a Charisse thing to do because Charisse is very like, you know, she's like a mom. She's like, she's the group mom, without a doubt. Okay. Okay.
Yes.
She's pulling them up. I'm pulling them up right now. Let me find it. Charisse is going to kill me.
It'll be fine.
We won't tell her.
Yeah.
Okay, so this was when we were planning to have our premiere party. And Charisse says, I hate to be rude, but can I be removed from this conversation? And left. That was it.
But why?
Because I think that Charisse, she's very sensitive, and I don't know if she felt... I think that the reason Charisse felt that way was because things had happened between her and Monique, and their friendship had taken some turns, and all that just, I think, compounded. Felt bad for her. But she's still, like, we all talk still, and yeah. She called me the other day. We still have a friendship. I think that maybe she was feeling a little bit slighted.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much,
Ashley.
We're getting the wrap up.
Yeah. Otherwise, we would stay here forever.
No, yes, seriously. Okay. This is good.
Thank you so much.
Of course.
Thank you, guys.
Candy.
Thank you, Ashley, again for coming on and for those M&Ms.
Yes, that was so nice.
Seriously, the only gift I've ever received from my housewife, and I cherish it forever. But next, we also talked to Monique. She talked about this season, that umbrella incident, and her surprising like friendship with Tinsley Mortimer. What? Maybe she'll give her some tips on being a cool girl.
Oh.
So we are here with Monique.
Hey,
hi.
I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you. So it's your second season.
Yes. Time is flying.
Yeah, I'm sure. How are you finding it compared to your first?
Oh, the first season was a lot more fun.
Oh.
I was totally oblivious. Okay. So the second season, you're more aware. You hear what the viewers have to say. So it's a little bit of a job just maintaining who you are to make sure that you're not trying to please the viewers or, you know, you just want to continue being yourself. So, you know, it was very interesting, very eventful season three.
it must be hard not to get people's tweets and thoughts in your head.
No, actually, it's not that hard for me. I enjoy it. I actually enjoy everyone voicing their opinion. It really doesn't bother me. I've never been a person that really cares what other people think of me. So I'm just like, whatever. Some people will like me. Some people will hate me. And, you know, can't expect everybody to just want to be my friend. So it is what it is.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like that's like a hard lesson sometimes for people to learn on Housewives, that you're not necessarily going to get along with everyone.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that was the gift of me being with a former NFL player, because we dated for 5 years of his 10-year career. So I was around NFL wives, and this kind of reminds me of that time. So I had a little bit of a learning period years ago. So my husband prepared me without even knowing that he prepared me for this show.
Speaking of, Chris is in the room. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how you
I just wanted to get that like barrel voice on in the background. Well, now that you're in season in your second season, do you know any other housewives from other cities? Have they reached out?
Yes. I actually talked to Leanne Locken from Dallas. I talked to Carrie Duber from Dallas. I talked to Deandra a lot over Twitter.
Really?
Yes. I call her sis all the time. She's so sweet. I love my Dallas girls. And I talked to Tinsley from New York. She and I have the same publicist.
Oh, no
so,
way.
So, yeah. So we talked. We actually talked before she did her reunion. So, and I was just giving her my experience because I had filmed mine already at that point. So we were talking and really bonded that way. And actually, I saw her a few weeks ago when I was here for her rebag event.
Oh, my God. I have so many questions.
Yeah.
Did you give her any advice for the reunion?
I did. One of her concerns was the fact that, you know, this group of women, they've known each other for so long and she's new. And I was like, well, I'm kind of in the same situation. So I told her, I was like, just anything that's on your mind, like, speak it. You know, don't be afraid just because they have this chemistry. Just, you know, say whatever's on your mind. And she didn't listen. But Tinsley is she's so sweet. I can't even imagine that dynamic of women. I mean, Real Housewives of New York, I mean, they've been around a long time. So that can be quite intimidating. Yeah. I've also talked to Nene Leakes. I met her about 2 weeks ago, and Cynthia, and I was so blown away. She is just amazing. Oh, my goodness. It's funny because I guess I should know better by now since, you know, this is my second season. But I'm always expecting to see everybody, like, hyped up when you meet them. But she was just so laid back and very warm and welcoming. Her and Cynthia, they were really, really sweet. Yeah, making my rounds.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, it must be such like a sisterhood because it's this very small, unique group of people that has this unique experience.
Yes, it really is. It really is. And it's amazing what social media can do. It really does like bring people together. So a lot of the housewives that I have met, we bonded over social media first. So I've even talked to or tweeted with Teddy Mellencamp from Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
She's so sweet. She's really funny too. Totally. So we'll just go back and forth over Twitter and hopefully one day we'll meet too.
Yeah, amazing. So it's your second season, but we have another new girl, Candace.
Yes.
And you two get along.
Candy gal.
Yes.
I love her. She's a piece of work, but I love every bit of it. Like, she cracks me up. And I like her because she's not sensitive. Like, me and her will, like, joke on each other the same way I do with Karen. You know, like, we'll throw our little shade, and we do it to each other's face, not behind each other's back. And we just keep it real, and I appreciate that.
Are you implying somebody else throws shade behind somebody's back?
Well, most of them, they do it behind the back. They, you know, some people don't have a backbone as big as mine.
So have you, like, seen anything this season that was surprising or you didn't know had been said about you?
Oh, definitely. I mean, this most recent episode was very surprising to me because for all of this time, I didn't know where the whole you had four drinks came from.
And now you know.
And now I know. And when it was brought to me, the person who said it denied it to me and said they never said it. So watching the episode, I'm like, oh. Okay, so I see there's been a lot of lying going on. So I'm very disappointed. But, I mean, some people are just so stuck in their own misery that they would love to just bash you rather than be honest. And if they can't be honest with themselves in their own situations, I can't expect them to be honest with me.
Speaking of, I feel like big accusations are kind of being thrown about you. I mean, it's not like a small thing to say. What has that been like?
It's not fun at all, especially when you know, when you put something out there of that magnitude, saying I have an alcohol problem or saying that I was drinking and driving, as from a viewer's perspective, it's kind of going to be hard for them to change their mind. Once they have formulated their opinion, they're not going to change their mind. So, and that's very damaging, you know, and I've always carried myself in a way where I've tried to be as responsible as possible, especially when it comes to drinking. Of course, I can go somewhere and enjoy and have my drink. But if I feel like I've passed my limit, I'm never going to get behind a wheel. Me and my husband, we actually will plan out when we go out together. It's like, all right, is it your turn to drink tonight or is it my turn? You know, and then even at the end of the night, it's like, OK, did you have any drinks? Are you good? No, I'm not good. Let's get a car. Quickly, we'll do that. That's something that I would never play with, especially because I have young kids. And I wouldn't want to harm anyone else. So when she kind of put that out there, I was just like, wow, why would you do that and tarnish my reputation and make me appear irresponsible? Like, I just, you know, I was totally just taken aback and, you know, I was hurt by it. That wasn't cool at all. I wouldn't even do that to my enemy.
Right. And to be clear, it's Ashley.
Yes, Ashley.
What is your relationship now? Have you, like, texted her being like, what did I just see?
I did not text her after I saw that. We were fine up until Sunday. We were fine. And after that, I said what I had to say over Twitter. I made sure I added her. I really have nothing to say to her. I guess I'll have to deal with that at reunion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you've also clashed with Robin a little bit this season.
Well, Robin clashed with me.
Right.
Everybody wants a piece of me.
Right. And your meme.
Oh, gosh. It was just so crazy because the level of pettiness and childishness that has been dropped on my lap. Like, I can throw shade and have fun. And we can laugh and joke all day long, but I will never come after your finances. I'll never come after who you are as a person. I will not destroy your businesses, your character, your reputation. I'm not about that. I like to joke and have fun, but I'm never about tearing a person down. And for Robin to take a meme that was created on a fan page, and because I liked the meme, and somehow try to tie that meme to me attacking her finances. I was like, you didn't really think this through, have you? Like, you really didn't put this all together too well. So I just felt like she was reaching without a step stool. And I just feel like the meme was of her fanning herself after I rapped at the reunion.
Yeah.
So I thought it was funny because obviously I kind of bashed everybody when I did the rap. And she was the last person that I said some things about. And she was just sitting there fanning herself. And I just thought it was funny. And then she ties that to me attacking her family. I'm like, oh, you know what? Whatever. Have at it.
So we see in the Super Tease this umbrella moment. How did that escalate to this you and her umbrellas?
Oh, gosh.
Happening?
So this is the interesting thing. When a person has already made it in their mind that they don't like you, they're going to find any and every situation, every little thing that comes out of your mouth and try to make it an issue for them. My issue was never with Robin. It was always with Ashley. I did not like how she was lying behind my back. I did not like how she tried to take a situation and turn it into something totally different. And I actually wanted to talk to her one-on-one. But I knew she would be at this scent event. So I decided that I was going to go and just stay to myself. I'm not going to say anything. I know myself. I know I go from 0 to 100. And I was still upset at that moment. And I knew that it would not be the proper time to address her. But, of course, the ladies do what they do. They push you and push you. So, finally, I let her know. We start having a heated exchange. How Robin got in the midst of it is because she wanted to be. I was not even directing anything at her. So that just escalated and got out of hand. And what Robin doesn't understand is that I'm not Ashley. You're not going to put your hand in my face and you're not going to get in my face. Like, that's just not going to happen. So you might have bigger, broader shoulders than me, but I'm not as afraid of you. I have some heels that I can use as a weapon, and I had an umbrella as well. And I'm going to defend myself as best as I can. I'm not ever a person that's going to back down to anybody. I don't care how big you are. My husband is 6'6", and he does not scare me. So I don't care that your voice is deeper than my husband's. Girl, bye. Like, whatever.
So where are you at with everyone kind of going into the reunion?
Oh, gosh. I really don't know. I really don't know. You never know what's going to happen. My mindset right now is that most of the women in this group are not my friend. They're not trying to be my friend. They're not trying to be friendly at all. So it's like, you know, where do we go from here? You know, and I've never been a person that will just try to attack someone for no reason. If I'm coming after you, it's because you came after me first. So it's going to be an interesting reunion, but I will say I'm ready. Yeah.
You kind of hinted at something that I always find really interesting about housewives. Like, there's shade and then there's like things you just don't touch.
Right.
I feel like we've kind of delved into that a lot more this season.
Oh, yeah. A lot of lines being crossed for sure.
Yeah.
Like I said, finances, family, business. Certain things, when it comes to that, you just don't do. But Ashley is a person who has shown that, I mean, that's not something that she cares about. Like, she'll definitely talk about your family, as she did Robin. She'll definitely talk about your finances, as she did Karen. You know, like, all of the women have at some point crossed the line. Even myself. Like, even with starting that whole incident on the bus, you know, with Candace and Charisse, it wasn't my intention to. I thought that everyone was over it. I thought Candace herself was over it. We had a prior conversation about it. So I thought it was so funny. So I'm bringing it up in front of the whole group, and it just went totally left field. And I will say that Candace did not start out as if she was being combative. She was just calling the moment a shady, you know, B moment. And then, like I said, if a person doesn't like you, they're going to figure out a way to make something about them so that they can do the attack that they've wanted to do. And then at that point, Candace defended herself. And I'm proud of her for doing that. I just wish that she would have, you know, handled it in the moment. That was my main thing. You know, if you feel it, handle it right then and there.
What else can you tell us about the season?
Oh, gosh. It's definitely a roller coaster. It's like one friendship will mend and then another's broken. It's like constant up and downs. And the moment that you think you have Real Housewives of Potomac figured out, something else happens and you're like, wait, now we're starting all over.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to watch.
It's an intense season. It's definitely been entertaining as a viewer. Living it was not fun. It was quite stressful. But I hope that people can take something away from this, whether it's mending their own friendships, knowing which lines not to cross, and just trying to respect each other, even if you don't really care for the other person, just having some type of level of respect.
And we do this thing called Rose and Thorn, which we actually took from the Real Housewives of New York. So What would be your rose of the season and then your thorn of the season?
Okay, so my rose of the season would definitely be getting to know people on a different level, whether good or bad. So people like Karen, I didn't spend much time with Karen my first season. This season, I got to really know her. And also, even with Candace, she's new to the group, and we hit it off right from the start. May have had a little bump here or there, but I appreciate the journey. And just learning about people who don't care for you. You know, you can't trust them with anything, you know. So it's like you pick and choose your battles. You know when to keep your distance, and you always keep your eyes open. So the thorn would definitely be the women with the attack of trying to portray me as if I'm an alcoholic on a girl's trip, which is like what you do when you go on a girl's trip. You get drunk. You don't have kids around yelling your name. That's like girl's trip protocol, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, wow, you know, I've seen every last one of you drunk before, and I've never come after you and said, do you have a problem? Because you wanted to enjoy yourself and kind of let your hair down. So that would definitely be my thorn.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even have kids, and that's my girls' trip protocol.
Yeah. So.
I get it.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much. This is
thank
so
you.
Fun.
Yes,
yeah.
This is great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much, Monique. You're gorgeous as always.
Should we get into our rose and thorn?
Yes, but before we do, I want to squeeze in a quick round of what made Rachel cry this week, because I was in a meeting and was like sobbing because we watched the first like 15 minutes of the new MDL New York, which premiered on Monday, and Frederick talking about his babies and seeing them like on the chest for the first time. I was
kangaroo
like
kangaroo care.
Ugh.
We knew it was a boy and a girl, but it's not until you see them.
Wow. Meet your daughter.
Wow.
Say hi.
This is the most unbelievable moment of my entire life.
I was just like, don't look at me, everyone. VPs and like EPs. Oh my God. Ugh, it just broke my heart.
I've cried at his Instagram stories lately. Ugh. So like, same.
It just was like my heart broke and was filled with so much love and got mended by that moment.
I don't want to be that person. I don't want to cry. It's the only way I'll live.
But Megan, what was your rose?
Okay, let's do rose and thorn.
My rose would hands down have to be what I thought was Craig's vision board and turned out to be the visual representation of who he is, who he wants to be.
So a vision board.
A vision board.
But
It just looked like something that you threw together last minute. I'm pretty sure all those clippings were from the same article in a magazine.
We got to see it happen, though.
Snip, snip, snip.
Oh, God.
Right. Just, it's like, it's very symbolic of, like, what he thinks of himself if he's not putting a lot of effort into creating what his vision for himself is.
So at first, like, the outside was how I feel about myself.
All right.
And then the inner ring was goals.
Okay. Which is, you have these little holes.
Right.
And things aren't working together. It's just not integrated enough.
Right.
What is your rose?
Well, my rose was the spa. I forgot that I had wrote it down as my rose. So go back and listen to earlier in the episode. Hopefully my rose will be when I book the spa treatment at the hammam. I'll let you all know.
So my thorn is, fortunately we had to bleep it because there have been sensitivities around it.
And then my thorn is Steve Gold cutting his hair. I don't think he's as good looking anymore. He's still insanely good looking, but apparently that my type is longer hair.
Interesting. We saw them in the office this week.
Ugh.
All three of them together.
All three of them just looking like three tall, sexy drinks of water. By the way, no one is tall, so when tall people come into the office, we're like, yeah. They looked so good. And the fact that they all wear suits because they're like businessmen.
Right.
It's like, ugh.
Well, we want to know what your roses and thorns were for this week. Let us know. You can tweet us at Bravo TV using the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish, or you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Meg Segura.
You can find me on Instagram at Suspiciously Small and on Twitter at Rachy Rob.
And you can find me everywhere at gross _ raisin.
Bye.
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 And I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy.
Once upon a beat. Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me, DJ Fuge, and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. Once Upon a Beat.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.